Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void. Thus says the prophet Jeremiah in the fourth chapter of the prophetic book that bears his name. I looked to the heavens, he says, and there was no light. I looked on the mountains, and they were quaking, and the hills moved to and fro. These words sound like the words of someone who's describing a nightmare or a vision. And indeed, these words from Jeremiah were not describing the physical world. Jeremiah, in this passage, is describing a prophetic vision, a divine expression that fills us, the hearers, with fear. I looked, Jeremiah says, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. The fruitful land was a desert, and all the cities were laid in ruins. But what exactly is a prophetic vision? I suppose that depends on what is meant by the word prophecy. Since many biblical scholars think that Jeremiah's active prophetic life began in and around 620 BCE, the logical inference is that his visions foretold the Babylonian invasion of Judah that took place in 587 BCE. In this calamity, Jerusalem was besieged, its walls were ruined, and Solomon's great temple was destroyed. When this happened, it was natural for people to recall Jeremiah's words, and the cities lay in ruins. This is the prophetic vision as a clue to history way of interpreting Jeremiah. In this way of thinking, the meaning of prophecy is kind of like prediction. It's like Jeremiah somehow saw the big story laid out in front of him, and he was able to see what was going to happen. If you'll excuse me, Jeremiah here reminds me a little bit of that enthusiastic 9-year-old boy who has already seen the movie, and you're sitting with him in the movie theater, and everything is quiet, and then he says, "Ooh, this next scene's going to be really great." Jeremiah had already seen the movie. He had access to the big story. Access, of course, that is given by God. This is a valuable and impressive ability, but it is an ability to predict. Is this the be-all and end-all of what it means to be prophetic? Before I leap into my speculation about prophecy, I have to admit that there is an immense body of literature about the Hebrew prophets, and I have barely skimmed the surface of it. I suppose I don't have to admit that, do I? Most of the time, I don't. Most of the time, I just leap into speculations about things, and the only credibility that I call upon to do so is the credibility of the human soul. I have a soul, after all, just like you. The fact that you and I have souls is the only excuse we need to do all the speculating we want about the human soul. We are experts, each in our own unique way. This is another way, I suppose, of saying that while I may not have the access to the big story, I do have access to the small story. My story is a small story. And your story, too, is small. By which I don't mean to put your story down. It may be a very good story, but it's your story, and so it's small. It's not God's story. It's not the whole story, but it is part of God's story. And for this reason, you and I, have every right to at least try to speculate about the things that captivate our souls, whether or not we have read the literature on the subject. This kind of logic might not serve me very well if I was trying to get my PhD, but if you don't mind my saying, I think Jesus would be okay with it. Because Jesus himself had a tendency to lean on that small story. Even when he was talking about the big story stuff, like the kingdom of God and human salvation and divine grace, he would do so using parables. And parables are the small story. They are particular to the nature of our souls. They appeal to the emotions, and we recognize them as our own. Today's example is just such an example. The Pharisees and the scribes are right on script grumbling about Jesus for consorting with tax collectors and sinners, and unable to resist a teachable moment, Jesus responds by telling a parable about a sheep that goes astray. Which one of you, he says, having 100 sheep and losing one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost and find it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." When we hear this story, we are not called upon to consider the huge sweep of human history. Jesus is not making any predictions about the geopolitical movements of great armies across the landscape. The drama of this story is a personal one for the shepherd. The drama of loss, of concern, and the joy of reunion. The drama of this story is a personal drama, also from the point of view of the sheep. The fear of being alone in the wilderness, the real danger, the relief of being rescued, and the profound sense of security being held in the arms of the one who genuinely cares for you. These are small story dramas. But in a profound way, these small stories have big story resonances. This is why parables work. They work because they are small stories that become big stories. The principle of small stories becoming big stories is the principle that allows literature to work. The particular is the universal, and the universal is the particular. The mother in Jaffrey can understand the mother in Timbuktu because each recognizes the other's common motherhood. The man on death row and the man sitting in the Oval Office are alike in being shaken by the frailties of their essential mortality. Each of us knows the feeling of rain on your face. Everyone has seen and been surprised by the sad, beautiful light at the end of the day. We know these things with our souls. We understand them, not with our intellects, but with our hearts. And this principle is also, I would argue, at the heart of prophecy. More so, certainly, than the ability to predict things. Prediction is for gypsies and weathermen. Prophecy concerns the eternal in the human heart. The prophetic is the stirring of God in every soul. Amen.